We're not talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark. Brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, Oklahoma. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you guys had a good weekend. Looks like deer hunters have been very successful. Some pretty big bucks I've been seeing posted on social media. And you'll have to excuse my voice today. I got this bright idea of mulching the garden yesterday with rice straw, and it is working on me pretty hard today, so bear with me, sorry. And then let's check out some weather around 47 at Arnett, 47 at Cheyenne, 47 at Hollis, 51 at Butler. Butler is the warmest spot in the state right now, 46 at the May Ranch, 44 at Slapout. They got pretty good snowfall up there in northwestern Oklahoma this weekend. So we'll see how it goes. I got a half inch at my house. I don't know what you guys got in, but if you want to let me know what your totals was, be more than glad to hear from you on the Today in Ag. Man, my voice got worse when I started here. Today in Ag text line at 580-225-9697 and see what you got. Nice rain, we could use it. Been a little chilly at night, but hey, it is almost 1st December. Also, Western Livestock didn't have their sale today. Woodward will be having theirs tomorrow on their cows, I believe, and then Hobart will be back to getting it Wednesday, and then they will also be having their sheep and goat sale this coming Saturday, December the 2nd. So I think everything will get back to normal. But talking to Brandon Hickey last week when he came on the show, you only got 3 sales at each sale barn probably left on the average. 2 or 3 before Christmas gets here. And then they'll be, I know Elk City and Western Oklahoma will be shut down for a couple of weeks during the holiday. So you got some cattle you need to go to the market with, better be making some preparations to get that done. I know I got a few that needs to go also. So, anyway, we'll get that done this week, hopefully. Also, tomorrow and Wednesday, I will be doing the show live from the Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show. So this will be my first experience of doing it live somewhere else. Hopefully my voice is better, and we'll see how it goes. So, anyway, I'll be out in Amarillo in the morning, head out there in the morning, be out there, be doing the show live, and it's going to be kind of fun. See if I mess this one up. Okay, let's see what's happening with the, what happened overnight and this weekend in our agriculture world. Soybean futures were higher in overnight trading and decreased expectations of the crop in Brazil. Production in the South American country, the world's largest exporter of the oil seeds, is now expected at 161.4 million metric tons, down from 163.3. The USDA earlier this month said it expects Brazilian soybean production at a record 163 million, but if realized, that would be up from 158 million tons harvested a year earlier. Prices also may be rising on signs of strong demand for U.S. ag products. Man, I'm sorry about my voice. It just went to pop, poop here in the last 10 minutes. Prices, China purchased 129 million tons of soybeans, while a named country, John Doe will call it, placed an order of 323,400 tons of oilseed for December delivery. That follows purchases announced by last week of 110,000 tons of soft red winter wheat by China and 128,000 5,000 tons of corn by an unnamed country. Soybeans for futures January delivery overnight rose 6 3/4 to 13.37 and a half a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was up 480 to 438.90 a short ton, and soy oil added 0.62 cents to 50.91 cents a pound. Corn for March delivery was up 0.75 cents to 483 1/4 a bushel. Wheat futures gained 2 1/4 in Chicago at 579 and a half, and Kansas City futures added 4.5 cents to $6.16 a bushel. Let's see here. Snow is expected this afternoon and tomorrow morning in parts of northern Indiana, according to the National Weather Service. Another 2 inches of snow is possible, though some may be left on the ground after the weekend's precipitation. I know my daughter lives right there between Emporia and Wichita, and they got 9 inches of snow over the weekend. In eastern Oklahoma and central Arkansas, meanwhile, gusty winds and low humidity result in heightened concerns over wildfires this week. Increasing south winds tomorrow and especially Wednesday may again raise fire weather concerns over on the east side of I-35. So anyway, hey, congratulations to the Oklahoma State Cowboys. Made it to the Big 12 Championship. Good luck playing Texas, and hope everything works out pretty good. Anyway, they did a good job this weekend coming back to win that from BYU. And, of course, my Sooners, they won. And, anyway, looks like it's going to be another great weekend of football this weekend. So, got that going on. Well, I got some stuff from Tyrone Spearman on Peanuts. Looks like production's down. And we'll have some livestock updates coming up after this first Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 17th. 2,145 head were sold. 10 head of steers at 454 brought 290. 8 at 485 brought 284. 11 at 490 brought 270. 3 at 595 brought 247. 4 at 640 brought 214. 5 at 699 brought 216. 5 at 774 brought 227. 9 head of heifers at 321 brought 285. 4 at 390 brought 250. 5 at 494 brought 240. 9 at 633 brought 214.50. 4 at 634 brought 215. 7 at 862 brought 193.50. Butcher cows were 39 to 122. Butcher bulls brought 69 to 127.50. Bred cows were 1,000 to 2,100. Pairs brought 900 to 2,450. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey, 580-497-6095.
The business I've done with the oil field, they got to see your face. They got to see somebody coming in to see them, whether it's weekly, biweekly, monthly, whatever the customer prefers. That's what we're going to do. We sell all types of industrial hose and fittings, hydraulic hose, oil field suction hose, lay flat hose, all types of fittings, hydraulic fittings, cam lock fittings. We also carry black pipe fittings, air brake fittings for semis, brass ball valves. In the oil field, sometimes you get a call for a crazy, hey, can you get this? And you go find it for them. Oil field or agriculture. So if your farmer need a hose built, you can come in, we'll build it. You're a oil field customer and need us to come out and see you, we'll come out and see you and take an order or pick up a hose, build it, bring it back to you. My company is American Hose and Supply. Come by and see us at 2111 South Main, Elk City, Oklahoma, in Camrock Building next to Fred's, or call me at 580-821-4413. 821-4413.
SEI Agritech is excited to announce they're now open with their new LNC blending feed facility for their new product line at SEI Agritech 1400 South Randall in Elk City, with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. The new facility is the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City now open their new facility in their current location, 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, give Kent a call at 580 225-0317.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it. And it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Now, back to more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, let's try this again. I got one of my wife's essential oil cough drops out. Let's see if that'll help me with my voice. Like, again, sorry, I apologize. What I was doing yesterday is I tilled up a new garden spot, and then I planted some winter rye on it, and I just hand spread it over there the other day. And then we got that rain, and then I covered it all up with a rye straw yesterday. And, she's kicking on me pretty hard. All right, out here in the Panhandle, Texas. Currently, it is 47 degrees at McLean. Wind chill's 43. Humidity's 37. Dew point's 22. The winds are out of the south at 9 miles an hour. Peak wind gust today is 21 miles an hour. And let's see here. Month-to-date precipitation, they got a pretty nice rain out there, 59 one-hundredths of an inch, or what is that in Roger Mills technology, 591 thousandths of an inch, according to some people that live around Grimes. How about that? Anyway, sub-freezing minutes today, 452 minutes, and 8-inch soil temperature, 47 degrees. So it's come down, what, 6, 7 degrees since the cold front hit Friday and Saturday, so ground temperatures dropping. All right, let's check out the commodity board right now. December corn, 456, down 6. March is 475, down 6 also. May is 487, down 7. Oh, excuse me. Soybeans for January, 1330. March is 1348. Most of the soybeans are unchanged today, according to this chart. Soybean meal up $2.70 for December at $460.10. January is up $2.20 also at $436.30. March is $421.50, unchanged. Soybean oil for December, 52 even, up a half a penny. January is 51.21, up 0.92 cents, and March is 50. Just changed on me. There we go. 50.93 is March, and up 0.83 cents. Hard red winter wheat. Man, it's just, they're hammering on us, guys. We don't know what the people and their profits. December 5.90, down 12 cents today. March is 5.97, down 14 cents today, and May is 6.05, down 13 cents today. Cotton's not looking too shabby. At least it's back up in the 80 cent range. December is 80.42. March is 79.13. It's down a penny, 1.86 cents, and May is 79.81, down 1.88 cents. See here, coal, oil, West Texas Intermediate, January 74.77, down 76 cents. And February's down 76 also at 75.01. Natural gas is well below the $3 range now at 2.75 for December. And January's 2.91. All right, let's check out some of these. The meat market. December, live cattle, 169.50, down 75 cents. February's 169.25, down a buck 72. April's 171.25, down $2.05, and June is 167.22, down $2.27. Feeder cattle are down big time after November. November is 228.64, down 73 cents, but January is 213.20, down $6.12. March is 216.75, down 5.97, and April's 220.72, down 5.95. Lean hogs are down. December 67.27, down 30 cents. February just changed to get on me. 67.17, down $1.60, and April lean hogs 73.90, down $1.37. Looks like the Dow and the S&P are in the red today, and the NASDAQ is up in the green. So just all kinds of crazy stuff going on with the futures. Let's see here. I was going to say, oh, yeah, got one text in on the text line from Buffalo. We got 8 inches of snow. How about that? That's pretty good. That's a nice rain. Melting. Wonder if it's melted yet. Probably not, but anyway. Also, just some information for you guys. So yesterday on public hunting, deer hunting for public on public hunting ground closed yesterday, like Pack Saddle, Ellis County, Beaver, all those. It closed yesterday for deer hunting. Today it reopened for quail hunting. So remember that. Don't be going out there shooting deer on public hunting with a rifle, because it's illegal now. So just thought I'd bring it up, because I know I had a buddy come in from California just now arriving at Cheyenne. He's going to stay up there at Croton Creek with his trailer. He's going to be doing a little bow hunting. He brought his griffs with him. Going to do some quail hunting. So anyway, kind of excited he's here. And then I got some buddies that also have griff. They're wire-haired griffons is what they're called. Wire-haired pointing griffons. They're coming in from Michigan, Montana, and then my other buddy's coming in from Chicago, from Illinois. He's the one that drives a Beamer with his bird dogs in the front seat and the back seat, and all of his dogs eat and drink out of Yeti bowls. And I wouldn't be surprised if his dog cage ain't Yeti, and they probably got Yeti sunglasses and stuff. But they'll all be coming in next week. So anyways, a couple of weeks of fun hunting coming up. And I dropped Beth off my griff at Stockman's Vet today to get a pedicure and manicure. She got in the mud yesterday, so I gave her a shower. So it was a good time to get her to the vet where she wasn't stinking. Okay, let's see here. I had a really cool deal. I got all kinds of stuff coming up. Okay, higher inputs and interest rates impacting cow costs. Yep. Now is a good time for spring calving herds to analyze the budget. This comes from the University of Nebraska Extension. It was a really good read. You guys listen up. As the 23 calendar year winds down, this is a good time for spring calving herds to look at what it cost to produce a calf in the past year. What did it cost to run a cow in your operation this year? How do you calculate the cost? How do you value raised feed, labor, equipment, as well as replacement females grown on the ranch? These questions are frequently asked when the conversation of annual cow costs come up. The estimated annual cow cost for Nebraska is a simple one-page sheet that producers can look at to compare their cost and see the resulting total to produce a wean calf under current market conditions in 2023. This budget values all feed at the market value, as well as labor, equipment, capital investment, and the market value of replacement heifers at weaning. The Center for Ag Profitability Cattle Budgets are another interactive budget tool that producers can download in Excel and use to calculate their own cost of production based on their location and herd size in the state. Frequently, when either of these tools are used and all the costs are tallied, the total surprises many cow-calf producers. There's a lot of them. A response often heard are after tallying up the numbers is, does it really cost that much? And there's a lot of guessing goes on out here with some of the producers. Oh, I got this and I got that in it. Man, if you guys will get you this, download this Excel sheet, it would probably scare you
what it actually cost to raise a calf. And looking at this budget, feed is the first and largest cost. For many cow-calf operations, grazed and harvested feed makes up 40 to 70% of annual cow cost. The market value for grazed feed and harvested feed was higher in 23 as drought conditions, a harsh winter, and inflation pushed up hay and grass prices higher. In this budget, with all the pasture and feed are valued at market price, including what is needed for replacement heifers and bulls, annual feed costs are almost $800 per cow unit. Labor and equipment costs continue to increase. When labor is valued at what it would cost to hire someone to do the work, and depreciation and expenses related to equipment ownership and operations are calculated, it frequently makes up 15 to 30% of the total annual cow cost. Equipment replacement, interest, repairs, maintenance, and operating expenses trended higher this year. When replacements are raised or purchased, the costs associated with getting a bred female into a herd are significant. The economic cost of getting a bred replacement into the herd in 2023 is much higher than it was in 22, when heifers are valued at the market price at weaning, and all costs from weaning to entering the herd as a bred female are calculated. This total frequently comes in as the third largest cost in the cow-calf budget. In a typical herd, which often where open and old cows are sold then replaced with bred heifers, the cost to do this often is 15 to 30%. A quick way to get an idea of the significance of cow depreciation is to look at the relationship between the market value of bred replacements coming into the herd and relationships to the total value of cull cows leaving the herd, as well as those that have died. Assuming the cow herd keeps a constant head count, the value difference divided by the number of cows in the herd gives a current depreciation relationship value. Last but not least, interest, breeding, vets, marketing, and other costs often add up to 10 to 20% of total cow costs. While not as large as other cost categories, they still need to be monitored and analyzed. Interest rates are significantly higher than they were 2 years ago, and this is impacting the cow-calf enterprise. The bank prime loan interest rate reported by the St. Louis Federal Reserve as of July was at 8.5. This rate is what commercial banks typically charge customers that are deemed to be the lowest risk when making a loan. To put this in perspective, the reported prime loan rate from March of 2008 to July of 2022 was never higher than 5.5. For several years during that period, it was 4% or less. The total amount of dollars needed for operating expenses in 23 was higher due to inflation of input costs and the increase in value of replacement females. The interest rate on operating loans for most producers has doubled from what it was 2 years ago. More dollars needed to borrow to operate, and those dollars are being borrowed at a higher interest rate. Interest rate expenses as a percentage of the total operating costs are significantly higher for many producers than they were a couple years ago. Good fact. It's a true story there. Even with cattle prices as high as they are, I don't think the profitability is as high as people think it is. I mean, it's better, don't get me wrong, but our input, no matter what it is just nothing we can do about it. Inflation and labor costs have gone up. It's hard to get anybody to work unless you pay them well, and sometimes that's not the best thing either. And then what else we got? Equipment has just gone off the deep end. I mean, that's why farmers and ranchers are headed to these auctions and paying so much for these older tractors and stuff, because they can't afford the new ones. Some can't afford the new ones, and the cost of maintaining is gone up significantly. Everything's gone up. It don't matter what it is. I mean, it is what it is. Well, let's go ahead and take an Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association break. When we come back, Let's hear something about some peanuts. Be right back after this.
Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
Is your cattle mineral investment being washed away? Weather can cause conventional mineral to absorb water and blow away. Simply put, your cows probably aren't eating it. That's why Purina created Wind and Rain Storm Mineral, a weatherized mineral that can stand up to the elements. Its larger particle size makes it harder to blow away and easier for water to pass through it. Keep money in your pocket. Contact Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City today.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You got to go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale per hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
Jim is all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, Buffalo, Oklahoma. Currently there, it's 44 degrees, feels like 44. The dew point's 23, the humidity's 44, the winds are calm. 24-hour rainfall, 0.29 inches. 10-day rain, 0.38 inches. When that snow melts off, that'll go up. 3-day average, 4-inch bare soil temperature, 43 degrees. 1-day average, 10-inch fractional water, 0.1. Sunset at 5:24 tonight, and today 42 for a high. You've already surpassed that. Tonight 17 degrees. Heart freeze. Tomorrow 50 degrees with west to southwest wind, 6 to 12 miles an hour. That is your ag weather forecast update for Buffalo, Oklahoma. Okay, let's see what Tyrone's got to talk about here.
Remember edition of
peanut supply and disappearance has been published by USDA. The program showed that the peanut production predicted has been dropped, mainly because of lower production per acre. The average yield per acre was predicted to be 3,905 pounds. That's about the first time it's been below 4,000 in several years. But now this dropped to 3,740 because of the weather this past year. They said lower peanut yields were noted in Georgia, Alabama, North Carolina, South Carolina, Oklahoma, and Texas for this year. The lower in the peanut production, the total peanut usage was reduced by 150 million pounds, with the peanut crush also down 50 million pounds and exports down 100 million pounds. That is their prediction. What is funny about it is that the ending stocks will be about the same as last year. That means there'll be about 1 million pounds left, and that always causes peanuts not to go any higher. Good news for the report on domestic food usage, expected up 3.7%. They said exports will also be up this year, 4.5%, if the quality will get better, and ending stocks will be 1.01 million tons. It'll remain about the same as last year. I'm Tyron Spribman for Southeast AgNet.
Thank you, sir. Sorry about that buzzing. Last three reports he sent me have got a little buzzing. I had to talk to him about a little production work. It's something like Jimmy would do. Huh, Nathan?
That's right.
Yeah, I know. Cough drop really helped me.
There's a little horse running loose in here.
Oh, yeah, somebody's got to do it. Anyway, so that is from Tyrone. It's a peanut production. All right. I've been holding out on this, but I wanted to talk to you guys about how to understand grease differences. Grease basically serves two purposes. It provides lubrication to the bearing or metal-on-metal joint to reduce friction and wear, and it drives away moisture and helps seal out new moisture. Restoring an antique tractor often leads to encounters with grease that have hardened. Before you finish the job, you'll have to decide what type of grease you should replace it with. Grease basically serves two purposes. It provides lubrication to the bearing or metal-on-metal joint to reduce friction and wear, and it drives away moisture and helps seal out new moisture. The latter is more important for antique equipment than the former. If a tractor is driven only a few times a year in a tractor parade, the parts and bearings aren't going to see a lot of wear, but they do need to be protected from moisture and rust. In general, grease is simply heavy oil with an additive, most often soap, to make it thick enough to stay in place. Hence, grease is used when an oil lubricant would leak out and would not properly seal the lubricated part. It's also formulated to gradually release the lubricant in its contents. As grease liquefies, it delivers a lubricating oil and also the additives in it. Historically, the first grease was animal fat used to lubricate the axles on chariots and wagons. Now grease has turned into a multifaceted lubricant able to perform under a wide variety of uses for tractors, trucks, and complex equipment. Grease is mostly comprised of base fluid, 75 to 95%, typically composed of group 1 and group 2 mineral oil base stocks. That's followed by a thickener, 5 to 25%, and additives, 0 to 15%, which provide most of the unique features of grease and enhance its performance. A number of the additives are similar to those to a hose used in an engine and hydraulics oils, including oxidation inhibitors, corrosion inhibitors, anti-foam agents, rust inhibitors, and anti-wear compounds. Other popular additives are moly, disulfide of moly, and graphite, which reduces friction by filling in small voids in the surface of bearings. Moly also gives extreme pressure greases their ability to stand up to intense loads. Another additive is some grease is a tackifier. I think I said that right. Tactifier, if I can say that right, which gives grease a tacky feeling, a feel, and helps keep it in place. Finally, dye can be added for easy identification by the inducer, even though the color does not necessarily indicate its particular application. Common colors are red, green, blue, I even got maroon. In many cases, red pigment is used to identify extreme use and high temperature use, but that is not the case among all manufacturers. SLGI, who is formerly the National Lubricating Grease Institute, administers standards for grading greases. In one test, the hardness or the softness of grease is rated by dropping a cone into a grease sample. The depth of penetration in 5 seconds is then measured and converted to one of the 9 NLGI grades, from 000, the triple I, to 6. The higher the grade number, the harder and stiffer the grease. Lower grade numbers, significantly softer, more fluid grease. Another NLGI test determines the grease's dropping point, or the temperature which the grease passes from a semi-solid to a liquid. This dropping point, which can vary between 200 and 500 degrees, changes with different formulations. To measure the dropping point, technicians apply grease to a wall of test cup and place it in a special oven along with a thermometer that measures the temperature in the cup without touching. Probably a smart thing. The grease or the sides of the cup, the dropping point is the temperature which one drop of oil falls from the cup wall. Regardless of what grease formulation you select, always clean off the zerch before adding grease. If you apply grease before cleaning off the fittings, you push any dirt that has collected on the zert into the bushing or bearing, where the dirt will act as an abrasive and could lead to premature failure. That happens a lot. Which type of grease is best for antique tractors? General purpose grease is designed to work in a variety of applications, but that doesn't mean it's not specific. Some general purpose greases are made for specific vehicle brands. Consequently, multi-purpose grease is the most commonly used formulation where heat is not an issue. Grease distributors will offer high temperature grease, marine grease, anti-seize grease, moly grease, and other special formulations. However, they likely will never be needed in the tractor restoration. They most likely didn't exist when your vintage tractor was built. The exception for current use might be a symbol grease, which sticks to the metal components and protects the parts from rust and moisture during a rebuild. Some grease formulations provide better cling to metals and better resistance to both water washout and spray. They can be useful on chain drives and other applications in which resistance to spinoff is needed. Ideally, the best procedure to follow when changing grease brands is completely remove all old grease before new grease is added. This is usually done, for example, when wheel bearings sear repack with grease, but any complete restoration usually involves removing as much grease as possible as well. During a change from one grease type to the other, when complete removal in the old grease is impractical, much of the old grease will be renewed by purging with new grease. This can be done initially or progressively by temporary increase in the quantity of grease applied and shortening at the application interval. How about that? Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. On the whole, farmers and ranchers are independent individuals who like to tend to their own work and stay pretty close to home. Most of us don't care much about the city life or politics. We don't have the time or the desire to travel to the Capitol to attend legislative sessions. But we still know what happens there can drastically affect our operations. That's exactly why we need an organization like Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. If you're concerned about issues like water rights, property rights, maintaining your ag sales tax exemption, then the OCA is for you. To join, go to okcattlemen.org or call Miss Lori Campbell up there at Arnett and the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, run by cattlemen for cattlemen. All right, let's go ahead and take a short OCA break. When we come back, I'll finish out the show. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Farmers
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettswelding.com. Again, that's everettswelding.com. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
It's important to keep your irrigation machines up and running during the growing season, because when your crops need water, they can't wait. And when you need parts, there's no substitute for the best. Valley Genuine Parts, from gaskets and gearboxes to booster pumps and boom backs. Valley Genuine Parts make all the difference to your operation. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, for all your irrigation parts, technology, and service needs, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The Pasture Range and Forage Rainfall Insurance Program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you, and God bless you.
You know, I think the best advice that I could give a young couple is to go sit down and talk to an insurance agent. I see a lot of young couples, they're just getting online. I mean, they're just clicking the button and clicking what's cheap. And, well, if I click this, it makes it a little cheaper. But if I click that, it makes it go up. Well, there's a reason why it goes up. You need to know what you're paying for. And if you're paying for it, you need to make sure you've got the right coverage. You know, another piece of advice I would give is when you go in and talk to that agent, you need to discuss getting some life insurance. It doesn't have to be me. Any agent can help with that. But a young couple, you need to go in and sit down and talk to someone and understand what you're doing. You know, a term policy on a younger couple, it's a whole lot less expensive than what people think. And the younger you buy it, the cheaper it is. It's worth finding out how minimal that expense is, because it's life-changing if it's needed. That would be my best advice.
Hi, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, I think I'm going to make it. Man, I lost my voice in that first 5 minutes of the show. What do you think so funny? Anyway, here we go. Here is your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ag weather update. I picked Hobart. 50 degrees right now, feels like 47. Dew point's 27, humidity's 42%. Winds are out of the west, southwest at 7 miles an hour. No rainfall in the last 24 hours. 10-day rainfall, 0.35 inches. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 47 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.7. Sunsets at 5:26. Today, 51. Looks like you're going to get there. Tonight, 26. And tomorrow, sunny, nice. Southwest winds, 3 to 13 miles an hour and 58 for high. So that is your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update. All right. Got a couple of projects left here. Man, livestock guardian dogs. They are the unsung heroes of livestock protection business. This is from the Texas A&M AgriLife, the day email I get from them once a week. Livestock guardian dogs are rock stars in the canine world, even if most people never see them perform live. Probably don't want to. Probably ain't pretty. These unique animals are so important to the ranching industry that the Texas A&M AgriLife Research and Extension Center in San Angelo created an entire program dedicated to these livestock protection professionals. Livestock guardian dogs protect the lives of sheep, goats, poultry, and other livestock from predators in the area and reduce financial losses that come with losing livestock. They save the lives of livestock and act as a deterrent to predatory wildlife, thus reducing the need for ranchers to use traps and lethal means to protect their livestock. Man, if I can just find one that don't like hogs, I'll set him out there in a hotel on my place and he just stay there and keep the hogs out. That'd be great. Until the turn of the century, livestock guardian dogs were not popularly used nor needed within Texas. But coyotes and other predator populations have grown and threatened the livelihoods of ranchers. Early settlers of the major sheep and goat-producing regions of Texas had nearly eradicated the common predators of the small ruminants, said Reed Reedon, Ph.D., Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service sheep and goat specialist. Department of Animal Science Association professor and center director at San Angelo. When numbers of predators began to rise, most ranchers lacked the understanding how to best manage livestock guardian dogs until under the Texas ranching conditions. Predators took a toll on animal numbers, financially hurting ranchers and in turn driving down livestock numbers while driving up costs for wool, meat, and related products. The livestock guardian dog program in San Angelo was established to help address persistent predator problems by giving ranchers an alternative, cost-effective means of keeping livestock safe. We have seen lambing and kidding increases up to 100% in less than a year when a producer uses livestock guardian dogs to protect his livestock versus trapping and other methods, said Bill Castillo, AgriLife Extension Livestock Guardian Dog Specialist, also in San Angelo. Increased survival rates for lambs and kids, baby sheep and baby goats, which are often an easy meal for predators, show the livestock guardian dog's direct impact to ranching operations' bottom line. Can any dog be a livestock guardian dog? No, not really. There's some out there, but it's not common. Livestock guardian dogs have been utilized around the world for hundreds of years. Specialized breeding programs are in place to produce livestock guardian dogs that have natural instincts, temperament, and talent to protect livestock. There are specific breeds used in livestock guardian dogs. Despite being born into the business, livestock guardian dog puppies require training and early exposure to the species that will protect to increase their success. If a puppy is bonded to the sheep or goats or any other animal when young, it will naturally take the role of being the protector of what it considers to be its family. Last but not least here, for the past 5 years, a bonding project has been in place at the center to see how livestock guardian dog puppies best bond to the species they protect. The findings help breeders and producers put best practices into place to ensure their dogs work as well as possible with their livestock. The program has also studied whether puppies raised together work better protecting as a team, or if solo dog or dogs previously unknown to each other perform better at their jobs. So what do they do? What do livestock guardian dogs do? Simply, livestock guardian dogs save animals' life. They protect the livestock in several ways. Territory exclusion, the dogs set up and monitor their territory pretty regularly. Disruption, they disrupt normal predator behavior by being in pastures or on the range with livestock, which is a deterrent. Direct confrontation, livestock guardian dogs will confront predators in their territory, threatening their livestock, and chase them away. If you have an image of a dog chasing a herd or a flock around, this is not a livestock guardian dog. Ranchers using herding dogs for herding tasks. Livestock guardian dogs are essentially livestock bodyguards. The dogs are also not family pets. Although they are familiar with their owners and may enjoy seeing them, they are attached to the animals they protect and prefer to stay with them. Livestock guardian dogs are not trained to kill predators. They deter them. However, they will also not let a predator attack livestock without a fight. So, you want to check this deal out, go Google this. It's a really good deal. They have field days, the Texas A&M AgriLife Livestock Guardian Dog Program. They have field days down there in San Angelo all the time. Webinars, they publish articles, blogs, and papers outlining this. All you got to do is go to the Texas A&M AgriLife Livestock Guardian Dog Program. Google that, and it should come up pretty easy. I'm hoping to run into these people out in Amarillo tomorrow. It'd be great to have them on the show one of the 2 days out there, because I think livestock guardian dogs are pretty cool. They just stay away from them, because I got a buddy that raises them. He does some specialized breeding, and as soon as those pups are about 6 to 8 weeks old, he throws them out in the field no matter what the weather. And anyway, they end up being pretty good guardian dogs, and nothing's going to mess with them. Like I said, I wish we had some guardian dogs for keep the hogs away, but there had to be more than a couple of them to do that. So anyway, let's see what we got here. Okay, touchy subject. Can solar and farming coexist? And I was looking at this chart, solar energy projects. There's only three in Oklahoma. I think one of them's down by Hobart. One of them's up there, either around Slapout or Arnett or Shattuck in there somewhere. And then another and up there around Enid. And Texas, California, East Coast are everywhere. But Montana, Colorado's got a few. And Wyoming, all the Midwest, Oklahoma, Kansas, Nebraska, Dakotas, Missouri, Iowa. Not a lot going on with these projects. But I'm telling you, I'm not the greatest fan of them yet. I'm not saying I won't ever get used to them. But they haven't proven a lot of things to me that nobody can answer the question. The U.S. Department of Energy believes solar can provide up to 40% of the country's electricity by the year 2035. However, it's estimated roughly 5.7 million acres of land will be needed. I mean, I know they're going to find some desolate spots to put these in, but they also... While that amount is a tiny fraction of the U.S. land, 0.3% in the lower 48, it would need to be located near power transmission facilities and could add to recent encroachment on agricultural lands from other sources, explained Stephanie Mercer, an agriculture policy consultant. The DOE is pushing hard to help make it a reality. For instance, it just announced an investment of $1.3 billion for six state transmission lines projects aimed at bolstering the electric grid. These projects connect Nevada, Utah, Arizona, and New Mexico, and also New Hampshire, Vermont, to Canada. Thousands of solar projects are already operating or under construction. The latest update from the Solar Energy Industry Association shows these sites to be the best of their knowledge as of September. Millions of acres may be needed for solar energy production going into the next 20 to 30 years, and some of that land, not all of it, could be farmland. According to Matt O'Neill, a professor in the Department of Plant Pathology and Microbiology at Iowa State and the Wallace Chair for the Sustainable Agriculture. These worry some people, especially those farmers in the Midwest, especially when that land's bringing $21,000 an acre up there in Iowa. That's why more research is going to go into how to continue agriculture below and around solar panels. Such research was launched in 1981 by two German scientists, Adolf Gossenberger and Armin Suskroll. I hope I said that right. Anyway, Iowa State is now starting some research on its own. They made a 10-acre 1.3 megawatt solar farm. They're trying to study it and do farming around it. And I know there's one with solar, or not solar, but wind power up going around Billings, Oklahoma right now. I think they're in their second or third year of a five-year project, and they're not going to release any information until it's done to see if wind towers affect the weather. I bet I could get a lot of opinions on that. Anyway, we're about out of time. Appreciate you guys listening today. Again, I apologize for my voice. And hopefully things will be better tomorrow. See you guys tomorrow live from Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show. It's tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday, so be sure and get out there. It's free. It's free to go to the ranch and Farm and Ranch Show out there at Amarillo at the Civic Center downtown. Anyway, we'll see you guys later. It's the Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City, Oklahoma.
We're like the flashlight on your keychain, helping you get the job.